Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Hello there, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, Mikey.
Happy Monday morning, Jen. Happy October to you.
Happy October, indeed.
How would you rate your September?
Oh, it was my birthday month, so it was fabulous.
Was it, though?
It really
well,
was.
How early or mid or end of the month?
18th.
Oh, so pretty much the second half of the whole month.
Yeah. Totally.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Still, now it's October, we move on, press on.
Yes, we do.
What have you got?
The book I've got today is called The Only Girl, My Life and Times on the Masthead of Rolling Stone, and it's written by Robin Green.
I've heard of Robin Green.
Yeah, you would have heard of her. She's done some pretty amazing journalistic pieces for the Rolling Stone magazine in the 70s. She wrote...
When it was really humming.
When it was really humming. She wrote a really kind of damning piece about the pop star David Cassidy.
Oh, Dave Cass.
Dave Cass. He decided that he wanted to be taken seriously as an artist and interviewed by a proper, serious magazine rather than the kind of teeny bopper thing that he would always kind of be a part of. And so he reluctantly agreed to be interviewed by her for Rolling Stone. And she just...
It's a beat-up piece. Was it a beat-up?
Yeah, she kind of savaged him. She just observed everything, took heaps of notes, and what she kind of wrote about
proper it. Journalism.
Proper journalism. And wrote this really great long-form piece about him. And it's online, so you can read it. It's a really great piece. So this is a really candid and juicy memoir from the only woman to be on the Rolling Stone masthead. And she was there, I think, from 71, just for a few years, in her mid-20s. And I guess, you know, we know Rolling Stone. It was the magazine founded in 1967, finger on the cultural pulse, long-form journalism, political reportage.
It's an amazing magazine.
Amazing magazine.
Especially when it started, it was so definitive, you know.
So definitive. And when she was there, she was kind of in the real heyday when people like Huntress Thompson was there.
But no other girls.
Grail Marcus, or Annie Leibovitz, was the photographer, but she was the only woman to be featured on the masthead. And she actually washed up there thinking she would get a job as a secretary. She had no journalism training.
Wow.
And the editor thought she was so great, so sassy, loved her sense of humour. And so,
hey, I love how sassy you are. Can people still say that? Would that still be a attribute? Tell you what, that last lady that came up the interview, it was sassy, very sassy.
So she wrote her name for them after that. And it's a really wild ride, this book, man. She goes into so much detail. She doesn't hold back. It's super juicy. It really captures the kind
Super juicy.
Captures the kind of heady cultural time of 1970s counterculture, bohemia. It's really direct, very colourful, quite turbulent. There's an amazing chapter in here called A Big Journalistic No-No. And what had happened was, this is the lead up to her being fired from being on the masthead.
Da, da, da.
She was commissioned to write a feature about Robert F. Kennedy's children. And, I mean, much had been written
about... See, that's what's really cool about Rolling Stone, though. It wasn't a music magazine as such.
No,
it was a culture magazine.
And political reportage. So very, you know, quite hefty. So she was commissioned to write this article about Robert F. Kennedy's children, because much had been written about JFK and his brother... but not much had been known about these children who had been left behind after the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. And so she went to interview the children, and then she doesn't file the piece. She doesn't write the piece, and she doesn't actually tell her editor why. And he says, well, you know, if you don't file this piece, it's really important. If you don't file it, I'm going to have to let you go. And she said, yep, okay, that's fine. But what had actually happened was she slept with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh.
And she thought it... integrity, so she didn't actually write the story. I wonder how many men would have done that if they were in the same position. So she didn't file the story. And she actually writes that what she found out on the waterbed in that dorm room could have been the key to understanding the Kennedy male. So she goes into quite a bit of detail.
All very good way to say that on retrospect, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, but no idea.
Yeah, but you know how you have those people who just kind
of... What about waterbeds for a second? Can we just stop and have a think about waterbeds?
Well, he had a waterbed in
his college dorm. Anyone still doing that? Anyone still doing waterbeds? Anyone out there with a waterbed? 309-3879. Love to hear from you.
Relics.
They were the shit in the 80s, stage, weren't they?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know? And then bumper boats came along and ruined the whole thing.
But anyway, she was one of those people that kind of drifted into things. She didn't decide to be a journalist.
In the 70s, everybody did, though, didn't they? Everyone just drifted in. That's the impression you get, eh? Everyone just drifts into their lifestyles there.
And she wrote that it never occurred to her to be a journalist. And then she actually went on to write for The Sopranos.
Cool!
It had never occurred to her to write for television. She just kind of fell into that. So she's pretty amazing. She's an amazing writer. And I really love this book. I just think it would be really great for people who love counterculture.
She's still writing now? She's still like...
Not really, no. She kind of went under the radar. So it's quite cool that she's popped up. And a lot of people, they recognise her name. They recognise her byline. And there's so many famous people that pop up in here. Joan Didion, Warren Beatty, Dennis Hopper, very Hollywood... it's really, people who like pacey biographies would really like this.
Cool. I've got one of my favourite books in the world that I own is that big thick Rolling Stones interviews.
Collection
of all the interviews from Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
So good.
So many great profiles and interviews. And she
even a modern issue of Rolling Stone's pretty damn good if you get the right story.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I reckon. I think so. But
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a harsh taskmaster when it comes to magazines.
Yes. I think it's a great, great insight into that kind of counterculture in Bohemia.
Should we play this Jefferson Airplane track?
Yeah.
Somebody say, harsh taskmaster!
Harsh taskmaster! Yeah!
Let's play a song.
We're playing Jefferson Airplane. Probably this song probably was a little bit earlier in the 70s. When did this song come out?
68.
Something. But still indicative of a curly old time.
Foreshadowing.
For me, it was just stubbies and bloody 5 cent lollies, you know? It's the 70s for me. The lead singer, was it the guy singer in Jefferson Airplane died this weekend? In the weekend? 76 years old?
I think it was before the weekend.
Was it?
Yeah, last week sometime.
Round it up. Play this song. I mean, we could play We Built the City in rock and roll, but that wouldn't be 70s at all. What's the name of the book again?
It is called The Only Girl by Robin Green.
And available now? At a very sensible what price?
$35.
See, good. That's... Are there pictures?
There are. I had a skim before and I saw some pictures.
Oh, colour pictures too.
Mm-hmm. Colour pictures. Glossy.
Welcome to the future, everyone. Thank you, Karen.
Thanking you.
That was Loose Reed.